And welcome to the program on this Tuesday afternoon. It is 107 right now. Meteorologist Justin Storm alongside Ag Director Bridget Riedel. You're listening to Weather and Ag in Focus. Bridget, what is going on today? How are you doing?
In a strange twist of events, I'm the only one in studio today. So I never sit in this chair. In fact, I never sit during the show. And so I've had to raise the chair so I can be seen above the monitors. Now my feet don't touch the rungs and my knees are up against the bottom of the desk. And frankly, this is baloney. This is weird. So here we are.
So you're telling me you don't like the captain's chair.
This is not right.
Well, this is your boat to steer today, Bridget. You make the turn any direction you want.
Well, it's like an airplane. We got two left wings, and one of those engines is on fire. So here we go.
An alien with a broken hydraulic piston.
I am also in charge of all of the little sounder buttons. So there we go.
There you go. Have you found the page dedicated to you yet?
What?
Huh? Oh, yeah, nothing. Hey, speaking of airplanes, so you know how I play the old farming simulator game, right?
Yes.
Well, I just got a new game last night.
Farming Simulator 2?
Well, Farming Simulator 25 comes out here very soon, and I'm pretty tempted to buy it. Except they want like $60 for it. Oh, my God.
Okay.
No, I got a flight simulator game instead, and I was flying airplanes last night.
Okay, A, that's very cool. B, Farming Simulator 25. So does that mean this thing's been around for 25 years, or how often does a reiteration come out?
Well, I actually don't know when the first one came out. It's basically they just give it a number for the year that comes out that it comes with. They usually do every 2 years, and the first copy I bought was in 2015. So it was Farming Simulator 15, and then 17, 19, 21, and now it'll be 25 is the next one that will be coming out.
There you go. Oh, by the way, I just captured a photo of you for posterity because I never get to sit in this chair. Okay.
It's a fun chair to sit in. There's so many buttons. There's so much power. If Dean was there, you could turn his microphone off and then he'd get upset with you. You know how fun it is to turn his microphone off right before he starts talking?
A lot, actually. Yeah.
The reaction that he gives me is just priceless, and it makes me want to do it again. And if you do it enough, sometimes he just gets up and leaves.
I did get, remember yesterday we were talking about this big swing in weather. And how the sugar beets were, I knew there was a consideration that had to come with heat, with high temperatures. Due to the Verizon power outage, one of our listeners was unable to respond, so he did today. Sugar beets can only be piled from 65 degrees on ventilated pipes and down to freezing. And you can only have a half or 1 inch of frost within the beets. And he sent me a picture of what that looks like in a sugar beet. I'll see if I can get that posted for our show today. So things we learned.
Well, there you go. So really, if it's over 65, you're not beating.
And that's the temperature of like the sugar beet. We're not talking just air temps.
Oh, the beet doesn't want to be over 65. Yeah. So it could be 70.
It could be
warmer
outside.
You just don't
want
to let it sit in the sun.
Right. And so you'll notice like the toppers don't move very far ahead of the lifters so that you don't have a possibility of frost or, you know, them warming up, et cetera. And if I'm getting any of this wrong, I know that our friends who are listening and know better will get a hold of me. But here we go.
All right. Well, it's cool. You see, you learned something. I didn't know what that whole little procedure was.
Well, every day.
I suppose it doesn't matter what the ground temperature is then, does it?
Well, the ground temperature is what would affect the sugar beets. But you don't necessarily have to stick a probe in the ground to decide what the temperature is.
Right. But like ground temps aren't like 70 degrees, right? Are they? I guess I'd have to look.
In the heat of the season, in the heat of the summer, they would be, but not
sure,
necessarily
but
this time.
Not in fall.
Right. We're cooling off pretty rapidly.
I wonder if I can find that.
Endon would tell you. And frankly, the co-ops, like American Crystal Sugar, does a really great job of getting that information out to growers. They've got a text alert system. They've got their own apps. I mean, these guys are well coordinated to make sure things are going smooth.
Yeah, I'm trying to see if I can find that, and I'm just scrolling through Endon. I'm not the most familiar with the soil tab. What do we want? We would want bare soil or turf soil?
Yeah.
Turf?
No, I think you want bare.
There's plants
turf,
on it.
Turf should have plants on it. Look at you being
beets
all.
Beets would have foliage, wouldn't they?
Yes, they would. And a lot. They look. All right. I think when you drive by a beet field, it always looks like lettuce early on.
It really does, in my opinion. Your 4-inch soil temperatures under bare soil across the state, average, it looks like mid to upper 50s.
See, still warmer. Not bad out.
Upper 50s, low mid 60s here in the valley. So pretty toasty.
Still warm.
Dip your toes in the water.
Hey, okay, speaking of dipping a toe in the water. Is it
going
to rain?
Where's this going?
Is it going to rain? I have that question a lot in the last 24 hours. Is it going to rain? I could really use a little rain.
We got to be a little specific here. I mean, it rained yesterday, technically.
Technically?
If you count the couple drops of water that hit a few people's windshield.
I can spit harder than that. What you got? What else you got?
I believe you can. That's all I got.
Okay.
That's all I got for you. So turn the sprinklers on, kids.
Yeah, no kidding.
Drink water.
By the way, since I seem to be in charge of the sounders today, I'm getting requests for sounders. So far, goats.
What are you getting?
And I wouldn't tell you if there was a goat anyway.
Oh, they want the goat.
Yeah, nope.
Really?
No.
I knew people liked the goat, Bridget.
Sorry. Nope. I'm sorry. Back to the weather.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will be back in the captain's chair probably tomorrow as Woo-hoo! Long as Dean doesn't take another.
That's wildly inappropriate.
Well, yeah, you know, you got to do what you got to do to get ahead in life.
And, that's right.
We could go. Yeah. All right. Let's see what we got for weather. Yeah. Dean should be back tomorrow unless he takes another hooky day. You know, maybe just I'm not quite ready to go back to work. I'll take one more.
We should make a game out off. Of people keeping track of Dean's vacation days for him. Like let listeners just see how accurate they are in the times Dean's gone.
You know, why don't we just turn that into a bit? 701-293-9000 is the Red Wing Shoe Line email, weather or ag at flagfamily.com. Send in your guess or call in and tell us your guess. How many days has Dean been gone so far this year? We'll take a roll at his PTO or his, his PTO. I would have to think about that. I know that it's all documented here on the show. So someone, if you really wanted to get the exact number, you'd have to go back and watch every single live stream so far for the year. And I know we have a few people that actually have watched, I think, almost every live stream.
Yes. And it would be, we'll make notations about that. I think if anybody wants to, send messages, let us know what they think, give a call, that would be fine. And a little bit of good humor to go along with it.
701-293-9000. While we wait for you to call the Red Wing Shoe Line or email at weather or ag at flagfamily.com, a quick rundown on your forecast is what I got ready for you right now. 62 degrees. We'll top out at 67 today. It has now officially become breezy outside with gusts of 25. Sustained west wind at 15 miles per hour. And we'll see the wind staying around 10 to 25. Out of the west for the afternoon with some filtered sunshine from the upper level clouds. This evening, wind switches out of the southwest and it picks up tonight, gusting over 35. Drop down to a mild low of 50 degrees. Warm back to the upper 70s. Might hit 80 degrees for your Wednesday for the 2nd of October. With mostly sunny and partly cloudy skies, I think we'll fall just short of that, about 78, 79. With a west-northwest wind at 20 to 30 miles an hour. And again, gusting as high as 40, so a blustery day tomorrow. For Wednesday night, things get a little cool, upper 30s, low 40s, back to the low and mid 60s for highs on Thursday. Thursday night, upper 30s, low 40s again. We'll start warming Friday, close to 70, mid 70s on Saturday, and then we'll get a cold front that will swing through. So Saturday will be windy. We'll drop down into the upper 50s and low 60s for high temperatures on Sunday. And then I don't even want to say it's a chance for frost because it's not for our area, but it will be one of our colder nights in the upper 30s. That may warm up a little bit as this will be targeting central Minnesota, which is where I believe they will see their first frost potential. But I don't think we're going to see it here in the valley. We'll leave us in the upper 30s to low 40s Sunday night into Monday. And then after that, I think we go the entire week without dealing with a frost threat.
Nobody has to wear a sweater.
No one has to wear a sweater. Daytime highs for this week, next week, right now bouncing around the 60s and the 70s. A couple days over the next 14, we may hit 80 or low 80s. So very pleasant above average week as a whole. Temperatures well above average. We should be in the mid 60s and we'll be in the 60s. Oh, watch out, Bridget. There's a fly. It's all right.
All right. We'll, bad things happen.
It's okay.
Unsupervised.
Yeah, flies, dangerous animals. They go straight for the jugular nowadays. Vicious. They got sick of us taking them out with the fly swatters. They're starting to take us out now. You all right, Bridget?
You said frost, and they were just like, oh, no, not yet. You're not going
to
kill me.
I'm not ready to die.
Not going to kill me that fast. Goodness.
Anyways. So, yeah, very nice week ahead is what we're dealing with. And coming up on the program today, we got some fun things that we'll be discussing. A little bit about Minnesota fertilizer rules and mulch films. Not as dairy as they sound, or not as dirty as they sound. So we'll hit on a couple of those topics. And our guest today will be Mike Burkhart of the Travis Burkhart Foundation. So we'll be touching up with him, seeing what exactly that foundation is and what it does. And again, if you want to join the program, ask some questions, contribute to the conversation, 701-293-9000 is the Red Wing Shoe Shoe Line emails, whether we're ag at flagfamily.com. So, Bridget, I'm not sure if you've had any responses yet.
Not yet, but I'll keep
Dean's
watching.
Off time. All right, we'll keep an eye on that. And what do we got coming up? I guess we'll get our guest ready, and Mike will be joining us here in just a moment. So again, 701-293-9000. We'll get caught up with the American Ag Network. We'll start learning what the Travis Burkhart Foundation is next.
Welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you who are out in the field, and if you're running into problems, maybe you've got to think about trading machines. If you are looking for another header, don't forget to go contact Steffes Group. Their equipment auctions, they've got several up and running online, and I'm sure they can help you find what you need to get you through harvest. And don't forget our friends over at Dakota Bank. They are prepared to help in so many ways. They have a location here in Fargo now. They're one of the largest banks in the region, and Dakota Bank wants to be there for you. They not only have banking, but the insurance. And on that, with a touch of a screen, you have a live Dakota banker that can appear to assist you on their interactive teller machines at any time. So thank you for sticking with us today. We definitely want you to reach out and call whenever you'd like. You can reach us on the Red Wing Shoe Shoe line of 701-293-9000. Today, I have a guest for us that I'm very much looking forward to. Not that I don't look forward to guests every day, but today is going to be a little bit different. And we're going to visit with Mike Burkhart. And Mike is with the Travis Burkhart Foundation. So, Mike, how are things with you today?
Good. We finally got through all the rainy stuff that's going on that was left over from the hurricane. So we're finally drying out a little bit here.
Nice. And by here, where is that?
We are in southwest Indiana. We're 60 miles northeast of Evansville and 100 miles southwest of Indianapolis.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned earlier, we were talking about the Travis Burkhart Foundation. But before we talk about your son, Travis, tell us a little bit about your background and operation and what's happening for you guys in southwest Indiana these days.
Okay. So I go way back, and I've been a farmer my entire life. My brother and I started farming at the age of 10. Basically, we was raising hogs on contract. And then whenever I was 12 years old, my dad had a massive heart attack. He was 36 years old at the time. 13 years later, he passed away at the age of 49. And so my brother and I kind of got schooled in that 13 years. And so we've been very blessed to be able to have been here on this farm all that time. But we raised wheat. We raised grain sorghum at one point, but we raised a lot of food grade white corn. We raised seed beans and yellow non-GMO and GMO corn. So we've done a whole realm of different products, just trying to, like every other farmer out there, just trying to make it. And then in the wintertime, for 15 years, I worked at a lot of fabrication shops.
Sure.
So in that period of time, we got up to the point of about 2008, and our son Travis was involved in a car accident. His car went into a spin on the ice, and we ended up in the hospital for 5.5 months. And it was a life and death kind of situation. Wasn't supposed to make it through the first night, but he's still with us here today. And we've just been blessed through that whole process of how life has done a total flip for us as a family. I've got four kids, been married since 1982 to my beautiful wife, Kimberly. And I have four kids, Ryan, who and his wife both work at Colorado Christian University in Denver, Colorado. My youngest son, him and his wife work at Community Hospital in Indianapolis in the finance and HR departments. My youngest daughter, my only daughter, she works here locally at the Naval Base for the government here with Crane Naval Base. And then, of course, Travis is here at home with us.
So let's kind of go back just a little bit. You mentioned we went to, you said it was 2018 when Travis had his accident, correct?
It was 2008.
2008.
Yeah.
And this was a traffic accident. This was not a farm accident, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
So of the injuries that occurred, can you kind of describe those? Because that's going to lead us to, you know, where Travis is today, and then also how that's affected your farming operation. But what happened as a result of that accident?
Well, at the time of Travis's accident, we was farming 3,200 acres. And he went into a spin on the ice. We kept him home an extra day. He went to school in Evansville at the University of Southern Indiana. We thought that we kept him home on a Monday. There was an ice storm that had moved in. We felt by Tuesday it was good enough for him to get back. He kept pushing that he needed to get back to school because he had a paper on the trials and tribulations of Job. And he felt like that was something that he really had to get back to school for. And so he got south of here about 18 miles going down a hill. We don't know all of the details to it, but he went into a spin on the ice. And as you can see, whenever the picture of his car, we don't know exactly what happened, but his car was a little Grand Am and the back seat was shoved all the way up against, or the bumper was shoved all the way up against the back of the front seat. He ended up with a fracture of the C2. He ended up with a traumatic brain injury. But as far as physical damage, you couldn't tell. He come off the elevator and he looked perfectly fine. But he was on life support. My wife and I get pulled into a room with a neuro, surgeon, and the very first night. And he said, "I don't know if you guys understand how serious this is." And we're kind of looking at him like, "Well, yeah, we're in ICU in a hospital, so we kind of got that figured out." He said, "Well," he said, "here's what I'm going to tell you is that he most likely won't make it through tonight. And if he does, you're going to want to find nursing facilities for that young man and forget that young man was ever born."
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that was, and as neurosurgeons go, bedside manner's not real good, and they always feel like they have to give you the worst case scenario. So, you know, with that being said, Travis was in a neck brace. We pulled him off of life support about 10 days later. And, you know, he kept saying, "Well, we'll just shut the machine off." And we said, "Well, no, we're not giving up on him. It's not our decision. This one is going to be God's hands. It has been from the beginning. And so we're going to turn it over to a higher power and we're going to see where this thing goes." And so anyway, whenever we did, Travis took off on his own, and we was there for 5.5 months. We left from there, went to a step down unit. Then we went to a rehab unit. And then finally got to come home. His accident was on February 12th. Finally got to come home on July 28th of that year. And it was a tough thing to be in hospital all that time, because at the time we were still farming. So we had already gone through most of the farming season, trying to keep up with everything. My brother was keeping up with everything at home. So my wife worked at a medical clinic, and she gave up her job to be at home with Travis.
Well, So there's so many things that we want to visit about with you, Mike. And right now it's bottom of the hour, 1:30 in the afternoon. We've got to catch up with just a little bit of news. But when we return, we want to continue our discussion with Mike Burkhart. He's in Southwest Indiana, and we're going to visit about his son, Travis, and the changes that this auto accident caused in this farm family, the trajectory that they are on, and also the foundation that they have established and the things that they are doing going forward. So stay with us. We'll be right back. And welcome back to Weather and Ag in Focus. Thank you for joining us. So glad that you were here today. And do not forget, coming up on Saturday, October 12th, we as hosts are all going to be at Fargo Billiards that Saturday. We're going to watch the Bison play. Go Bison, horns up. We are going to have a stein hoisting contest, a bunch of beer sampling. I think there's bean bags and billiards and darts, and just stop by. Registration starts at 11. You're going to want to be there. Now, today, as we are visiting with our guest, that is Mike Burkhart, and he is with the Travis Burkhart Foundation. And Mike, you were talking about your son's car accident in 2008. And did Travis want to farm? Was that his anticipation when he was coming back from SIU to be a part of the farm with you?
What we had required of our kids was that we wanted them, that if they, any of them that was going to come back to the farm, first thing was they was going to get a 4-year degree in something. We didn't care what it was. My brother and I was not fortunate enough to go to college. My brother was wanting to be an accountant. I was going to be a school teacher, coach. And so our lives got flipped upside down when Dad passed away. You know, we'd lost a brother on the farm also, due to drowning, accident. And so we'd had a lot of things happen there on the farm, but we'd been very blessed up to that point. But we wanted our kids to have a degree behind them just in case if they got into farming and it doesn't look good, then they would have the opportunity to have that education behind them. So Travis was actually going to school to be a teacher, wanted to be a football, baseball, basketball coach. He was just 2 semesters away from having his degree whenever all this had happened. So that the discussion of him coming back to the farm had never come about. At that point, because after they graduated high school, we wanted them to go work in the general workforce for 5 to 10 years just to experience something different than what they had learned here on the farm.
So with all the things that have happened with Travis, how's Travis doing today? And then let's get into talking about the foundation after we know how Travis is.
Travis is doing remarkably well now. What has affected Travis through this whole thing is the right side of his body has been affected, his speech and his balance and his coordination. So those things have been affected greatly, but yet he goes, we do a weightlifting competition every year, and we take him to just regular weightlifting competitions. And this kid is incredibly strong, and that's been the thing that has carried him through. Is because before his accident, he was going to the gym at least 5 days a week. So he went into this thing as strong as he possibly could, and was very blessed for that. But this summer, he bench pressed his personal best of, I believe it was 239.
Wow.
And that's quite remarkable whenever you consider the fact that, that's a tough picture. right there.
Yeah.
Because that's...
That was
he lost 67 pounds at that point.
Uh-huh.
He was down to 147 pounds. He weighed 212 before he went before he had his accident.
Wow!
And there was some tough stuff there. But anyway, so we take him to these weightlifting events, and there were regular weightlifting events with everybody else that that participates, goes to the gym every day. It's not a Special Olympic thing. So he is incredibly strong. Now, there is a part of Travis's story that we have told on a few occasions, and that is this. That year of his accident, we was in soybean harvest at that time. I come in one night, and I go back to the bedroom, and he's getting ready for bed, and he looks at me. He said, "Dad," he said, "you know I died." And I said, "What?" He said, "You know, I died at my accident." I said, "No, you didn't." I said, "You're here with us, bud." And I look over, and his mom is standing in the doorway, and she's got big tears rolling down her cheek. She said, he told me this story today. And I said, okay, so what's up? And he said, well, I died at the accident. He said, I could look down, and he said, I could see myself in my car. And he said, I met Jesus. And of course, we start questioning a little bit about, you know, well, give us kind of a description. He said, well, long hair, long beard with a white robe. And okay. And so we said, well, how did that discussion go? And he said, well, Jesus looked at me and said, I love you. And I want you to know everything's going to be okay. And Travis, I said, well, Travis, what did you say back? And he said, well, I told him that I loved him too. He said, but he gave me an option. Gave me an option. He said, well, he asked me, he said, do I want to stay here with him or do you want to go back? But if you go back, you're not going to go back with the same body that you had. Your body is going to be broken. It is going to be not what you're used to having there on earth. And so we asked him, so, well, okay, so what was the response at that point? He said, well, I told him that if I didn't go back, my mom would be really mad at me. So that part of his story, we kind of held on to that. We didn't tell anybody that story for quite some period of time. And we ran into the two gals that worked the accident, and the two gals, we thanked them. We knew them, and we told him, so he tells us a story. So we proceeded to tell him, and these two ladies look at one another and they get pale white and they look at us and said, he did die. Said he was in the car, said he was so big that he was trapped under the steering wheel. We couldn't get him out, but his heart had stopped. And so we started performing CPR on him. And it was a thing where we're just working, trying to bring him back, beating on his chest and trying to get him to come back. And they said, all of a sudden, he takes this big, deep breath and he's back. So with that being said, that's kind of part of his story that is quite remarkable to consider where he was and the things that he went through. We lived in on Michigan Avenue in Chicago for 2 months. We lived in Cincinnati for 4 months doing hyperbaric oxygen treatments. Yeah. We was pretty much scattered all over the United States all this time, over about a good 3 year period of time, all this time still farming and trying to make things work.
And you made them work. And then you had this spark of an idea to launch the Travis Burkhart Foundation to help others. So tell us more about what initiated that. Was it something that Travis wanted to do, or did you decide as a family? And what does the foundation do for those, whether you're farming or non-farming families?
Okay. The community had raised $36,000 for us because they knew what we was going through was something that was deep financial. They knew all the time that we were spending away from home. And so they did a pancake breakfast that raised $17,000. They did golf scrambles. They did side-by-side rides. They did several different things that raised money to help us get through that situation. And I can guarantee you that it took all of that $36,000 and then whatever else we could throw at it to make that work. So we were so thankful of our community that what we decided to do then was to start the Travis Burkhart Foundation as a group of us in the community. A couple of accountants, we had an attorney, we had several people that was on a board, and we started that in late 2009, and we've been in existence since. And the way our foundation is set up is we start where insurance stops. And what that means is just because you have incredibly good insurance, it's the out-of-pocket stuff that will send your family into a financial topsy-turvy, upside-down situation that you may never recover from. So we try to pick up those expenses. And what that means is anything that insurance doesn't cover, we do. It could be anything from traveling expenses back and forth. Maybe it's your deductible. Maybe it's your your hotel stays, your food on the road. It could be medical equipment. There's just a whole list of things. We've built ramps To date, we've helped families 2,106 times. We have purchased 26 iPads, either for basically communication devices for maybe autistic kids, maybe it's a stroke victim, maybe it's somebody that's gone through some kind of cancer situation. But this summer, we celebrated the fact that we have helped families over $500,000. Right now, today, we are at $513,000.
That's tremendous. Just the work that you can do to help so many others. And the, when you said this happened during, you know, for you guys, you were farming and you just had to make it work. So the generosity of your community, the tenacity of your family, the support of everybody around you is what made this happen. And to see you go on and support others in this way is just huge, Mike. I can't say congratulations enough on what you're doing.
Well, the thing that's happened is that, so through this crazy social media stuff, I got on TikTok. We decided in 2019 that we was probably going to need to retire for a lot of reasons. Mm-hmm. And I went in and I explained some of the things that had happened, some of the stories of things that had happened to us. You know, I mentioned a while ago that we were farming 3,200 acres, but we had got down to 1,800 acres in a matter of about 7 years. Farming has gotten extremely aggressive. No matter what your situation is, if you've got something they want, they're coming after. Right or wrong, I can't figure that one out. That's not my deal. But anyway, we decided to retire. So I started talking about some of the things on TikTok. Well, it ended up that in 2021, a group out of Iowa in the Ankeny area, the farm for profit guys up there, had caught on to what we was doing, what the we was doing with the farm.
Oh yeah, I know.
And
those
so
guys.
They ended
They're
up
good.
That. Yep, they are good guys. I just can't say enough good about those guys. But to make a long story short, they ended up doing an auction and they raised $46,000 for our foundation. And at that point, we was able to go from helping in the southern half of Indiana to where now we're helping all over the United States. We've had another group that did a fundraiser for us last winter. It was a side-by-side ride with the Scott or with the Hoganics group there, and they raised $32,000 for us. It was Brian Moorfield, his wife Sarah, and their daughter Madison put that together. And so we've been really, really blessed. We've had fundraisers. Folks will call and say, hey, we want to do a tractor ride. We want to do a tractor show. Anything that they can do to help us raise funds. And it really helps us because then we can focus on what our mission is, which is trying to help families more.
Mike, how do you determine what families are going to help get receive some of the help? Is there certain requirements that are needed to qualify for the assistance or?
What we do is you go to our website and there is a tab on our website, which is TravisBurkhartFoundation.com. And you'll see a tab up there that says, how can we help? And you fill out a request form. And most generally, within 48 to 72 hours, we put it before our board. We have an 11-person board now. And we do all of our voting through emails. That's part of our bylaws. We had it set up that way because what we realize a lot of times when people need help, they don't need it tomorrow, the next day. They need it now because a lot of times because of pride, it's one of those things where we take and we try to help them as quick as possible. And so, no, you fill out that and then we put it before our board and it's not a thing where we help just one time and we don't normally help in large amounts of money because it can go on for years. And to give you a case in point, we had a young man here in 2015. He was in junior high. He ended up that he and his buddies was doing a fundraiser. He got hit on his bicycle and went headfirst into a concrete curb and we helped that family for over 7 years. So, some of these things can last a very, very long time. And we've been through this enough. We can recognize if it's somebody that's not straight up. If we don't think it's straight up, we call, and I can guarantee you, you can tell real quick on a telephone phone call what's going on. Because we've had numerous amount of phone calls, enough to know that when families are in trouble, their emotions are right on the edge. So that's how we kind of, we do that, and we take a lot of pride in trying to get that help to them as quick as possible.
I see. And how about for people that want to help contribute to the foundation? Where would you suggest somebody goes if they want to either get in contact with you to try and help set up some fundraiser to make a donation, or if they just want to make a simple donation themselves?
All of our information is there on our website. But if for some reason you don't have access to the internet, but if you go to our website, there is places there to donate, but you can send us an email directly. And if there's something else you're looking for to help in any way you possibly can, then you can go in and you can do a contribution there. Or if you want to try and do a situation where, you know, you want to do a fundraiser, but you can contact me or my wife directly. My phone number is 812-257-4493. And my wife's phone number is 4492. She's the secretary. She's kind of the one that kind of keeps this thing going right along on their tracks. It doesn't derail much, I'll guarantee you that. She's pretty dedicated to what, I mean, this gal wakes up every morning trying to figure out how can I take the pain away from somebody else, and never has that concern about her own pain, you know?
Absolutely.
All right. And Mike, what was that website again?
TravisBurkhartFoundation.com.
Awesome. Well, Mike, appreciate you coming on here and telling us a little bit about the foundation and sharing what I'm imagining is a very emotional story with us. So we appreciate that, and I know that our listeners do as well.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity. Anytime that we can kind of help clarify what we do and what we're trying to accomplish, why, hey, we're all about it.
Yeah, well, I think it was very good. Again, Mike, thank you very much. We're going to take a quick moment here. We got to get caught up with a few more of our sponsors. When we come back, check on your forecast, a couple more of our ag topics. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. And welcome back to the program. Thanks for rejoining us. 1:55 on this Tuesday afternoon. If you want to join in on the conversation here, feel free to do so. 701-293-9000. That's the Red Wing Shoes Shoe Line. Or you can always reach us via email, that's weatherorag@flagfamily.com. A very very good story there from Mike. That was
excellent.
It was pretty crazy. I wasn't expecting that here on this Tuesday afternoon, but that was a really good, a very good story that he was able to share with us, and a great foundation that they're able to help out with other families in similar situations. That's just amazing, Bridget.
And just look at how many they have touched and the things that they have done. You know, he listed off, a huge volume of people that they have been able to reach out to. Mm-hmm. All the different areas in which they can help a family is tremendous. You're right. Every time we have a guest, we're never completely sure where our conversation's going to go. Mm-hmm. And today was no different. But I'm really glad that we heard from Mike, and you know, he made great points. He said farming just got to a point where it didn't factor into what they were doing, and mm-hmm. Good for them to be taking on so much for others as well.
Yeah, it really is. And he had mentioned that they've been able to help over $500,000 in assistance.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a feat by itself. So a very big congratulations to Mike and his family for what they're doing.
I think it's tremendous. And again, mm-hmm. if you haven't had a chance and you're curious, go check out the Travis Burkhart Foundation online, and that's TravisBurkhartFoundation.com.
Indeed. Well, let's see. We still got a couple things to do on the show here. Not much time. We got about a minute and a half, so I suppose we can wrap her up with one of our ag topics for this afternoon. And if I remember right, we had one we were going to talk about with Minnesota fertilizer rules.
So there are some rules depending on where you are in the state of Minnesota. You can go to Minnesota Department of Ag's website, click on the map, because there are some restricted areas in the state where they have coarse textured soils or areas above fractured bedrock that you cannot be doing fall fertilizer applications. The majority of the state you certainly can. It's always recommended to wait until soil temperatures fall to 50 degrees or less, because the active soil microbes are then in hibernation or in a suspended state until spring, and so they won't break down your fertilizer that you apply this fall. and then keep in mind what all those rules might be in Minnesota with water management plans, et cetera, because there's you got to be careful. You can't have frozen ground when you're spreading manure, et cetera. So check into those. Think about that. We're probably going to have a fairly good fall fertilizer season happen post-harvest. Be a lot going on.
I see. Great. And Bridget, we're running out of time. Is there any last button you want to push on the old soundboard before you're back to your more comfortable chair?
Yeah, I haven't used it in so long. It like went to sleep and I don't know how to bring it back. So apparently, no, I'm not going to push any more buttons today and I'm not going to be in studio for a while. So I hope I didn't
break that. Means that. I get to push the buttons tomorrow.
I hope I didn't break it.
Yeah, that's all right. If you did, that's just less buttons for me to, I guess it's more buttons for me to fix. But anyways, we're done for the day. I got to check on your forecast coming up with the Jay Thomas Show. That's coming up next. Until then, everyone have a great rest of your day. We're back tomorrow, 1 to 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, bye.